No one would be foolish enough to put their money or their valuables in a bag with holes, would they? Looking back on the history of the people of God, God had been with the children of Israel as they left the land of Egypt, as they were able to escape captivity, and they were going toward the promised land. Had a lot of problems in getting there, difficulties along the way, but ultimately they got to the promised land. But they had many ups and downs as far as their being for God or not for God. There were times when they would murmur against God. There was a time when they would look back, perhaps, and say, you know, we'd be better off if we were back down there in Egypt rather than being here with Moses and going through all this. Then later, they still had that up and down attitude. They were hot for God and then they were cold. It wouldn't be like the people around them. God gave them a king. Then they were found out why having a king was not such a good idea. But then, not too many years after, they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Captivity in which they were punished, taken out of their city. Later, they would go back to the city of Jerusalem in that area, Judah would. And they were to go back and to build the city, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple, and of course their own homes. We have a reading from the book of Haggai that was God's message to these people as they went back to that, to their city of Jerusalem. You see, when they got there, opposition arose by the people around them. People of Samaria rose up against them and were taunting them. The Jews became discouraged as a result of that and other things, and they stopped rebuilding Jerusalem. They stopped building God's house. But they made sure that they had their sealed houses, as the Bible says. They had their nice homes to live in. And at that particular time, as they were no longer concerned with the rebuilding of Jerusalem or the temple, that God spoke to them through Haggai. Reading from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, we'll begin verse 2 and go through verse 6. Verse 2 through verse 6. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, in this house that is the house of the Lord, lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Could have been Tyler's lesson, consider your ways this morning, but that's not the title. Ye have sown much, God said, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. I have here two old McDonald's bags. They look identical, don't they? But they're not. You see, this bag doesn't have holes. So those very few pennies that Janice was able to find for me stay in that bag. But you see, this bag, I put some pennies in that bag. It had holes in it. to bag with holes. They looked identical, but they're not. I don't want all of you scrambling up here to get those pennies either. What a vivid description Haggai was able to give to God's people. He that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Like a pocket with a hole in it. Some of you men remember that, don't you? Getting change at a grocery store somewhere and you had on that old pair of breeches that day and you put the money in the pocket and as you walk out the store, you could be followed by the trail of change you left in your wake. I've done that. It might sound silly, but anyway. But see, God's people had for 16 years left the temple unbuilt, left Jerusalem and its walls unbuilt, and God was fed up about right here with them, looks like. He says, you know, you sow, but you're not getting very much of a harvest, are you? You eat, but you're not getting full, are you? You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You have clothing, but you don't have enough to keep warm. You know, what's going on? That which they had could not offer security. It was just like having a bag with holes in it. Like putting their wages in a bag with holes in it. It was gone. How terrible to find that our valuables have been placed in a bag with holes in it. Something like the stock market not too long ago. Finding all your stock was in Enron a few years ago, only to maybe build up a little bit and you put it in AIG. Or one of the other corporations that went down the tube for a long period of time. No security. Placed in something that was not safe, that cannot protect, that is not secure. But the Jews at this time trusted in a bag with holes, God said. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I'm convinced that there are people today, religious people, good, sincere thinking people, who are placing their souls and their trust in bags with holes. So our lesson this morning, rather than consider your ways, are you trusting in a bag with holes? You know, material pursuits for the sake of material pursuit only and leaving God out, that's not the way to go, is it? That's a bag with holes. That's a bag with holes in it. The Jews had provided for themselves physically, but they had not provided for God. They had not thought about the things that were spiritual. God's house was laid to lay waste. While they took care of material things, the spiritual things were being neglected. Now fear that folks today could do the same thing and not learn the Lord's lesson. In Luke 12:15, a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Eager to spend time, to spend energy, to spend money, to chase after treasures of this world, things of this world. Sometimes we have so little time to lay up treasures in heaven. When God placed man in Eden, he had a purpose for them there, didn't he? He had a purpose, and that was to dress him to keep it. From the very beginning, God has had a purpose for man. And as much as things are happening around us that we don't understand, we can't control, we've never been able to control it. I was reading something in a book last night that talked about control. You know, sometimes we just think, God is in control. Man is not in control. When we think we have our lives in control, that's when we suddenly find out that, no, we don't. We can have our lives in control if we're under the control of God. And that was their difficulty. In the midst of plenty in this country, you say, well, we got so much unemployment, so much this. You know, it's bad for that 10% that's unemployed, or 9 point whatever. But there are 90% of people who are employed. And sometimes we don't think about the positive aspects of things. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have concern for the others. God's purpose, I suppose, is best summed up by Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12:13, when he said that, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. To fear God and to keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Or one translation says, this is the whole of man. Fear God, have reverence for God, and keep his commandments. To miss that and live for earthly purposes is to live with a bag that's got holes in it. And God told the children of Israel, you're earning wages, but you're not being fulfilled. You left undone some weighty matters, as Jesus would say to the Pharisees. Material things, we know they won't endure. We know that we came into this world with nothing, we'll go out of this world with nothing. A lot of people worry about what kind of funeral they're going to have. Plan a big funeral. And I know that's what Connie and Bob would like to see plan. But to me, you plan whatever you want to plan, I'm not going to know a thing about it. All right? Plan whatever you want to plan. I'll not say anything about it. Let's put it that way. I don't know about the knowing part. But Jesus, we need to listen to his words when we think about putting together things now and having lost a lot of things. What's a man profit if you lose the whole world, or if you gain the whole world, rather, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Something that is just a bag full of holes? Material things? Like a fellow said, that won't hold water, will it? Are you trusting in a bag with holes? They were putting their earnings in a bag with holes. It was going nowhere. It was serving no purpose. No purpose. Well, serving only man or man's ideas is a bag with holes too, isn't it? To some extent, that's what they were doing. Their idea was, I've got my house taken care of. I'll not concern myself with God and the things of God. Does it make a difference what authority we accept in as far as religion is concerned? Does it make any difference? Do we have the right to question the authority of religious teachers? Jews of Jesus' day questioned him. People of Athens were meeting for the purpose, and Paul was glad they were meeting, but there in Acts 17, when Paul met with them on Mars Hill at the Areopagus, had an open place where they gathered just to hear new things. And I'm sure they asked questions. One time they asked Jesus, by what authority doest thou these things? Matthew 21:23. And it was their custom to ask questions. We need to do the same today. We need not to just listen to someone preach or someone teach or mama and daddy or whoever say what they say and what they think and what they believe. We need to know what God's Word says, and therefore know what we believe. What I believe. Some folks, when posed with a question, well, what do you believe religiously? I'll have to check with my preacher, they say. No, you don't. You need to check with yourself. Faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but not the preacher's hearing of the Word of God. Of course, preaching and teaching is essential, but be like the Bereans of old and search the Scriptures daily. Search the Scriptures daily to see if the things that are being said are so. You know, I can be just as sincere as I can be and be sincerely wrong. And folks couldn't be teaching all the things they're teaching, and they'd be so crossways with each other, and it'd all be what God wants. I mean, just from reading the book of 1 Corinthians, I find out that God does not want division, contention. He doesn't want people believing this and believing that and believing the other. He wants His people united, but not united by compromise, but by united in their belief in His Word. Another question, a question this time was asked by Jesus. He said, well, what about the teaching of John? Says it, was it from God or from man? He had a reason for saying that, because he knew it trapped him. But that's a good question too. Is what we believe from God or from man? Is it what I think? Now there are things coming along today that are new. Sometimes things that are new are good, but sometimes we need to investigate the new to see if there needs to be a departure from the old. Scribes and Pharisees sought to build a case against the Lord on one occasion, to condemn Him. And Jesus said, they honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. But in vain they do worship Me, He says, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And many folks hadn't gotten it right yet. The people at Corinth, they're there in the first century, maybe 30 no more than 40 years after Christ had left this earth, they were getting it wrong. The people of Galatia were getting it wrong. In chapter 1, he says, how come you are teaching one gospel over here and one gospel over here? He said, you're teaching different things. It's not pleasing to God. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel, for that which you preach is not another gospel. But he says, you've perverted it, or you've changed it. Christ is Lord, and He must be our authority. We're studying the book of Hebrews on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. An excellent book to study. You might say, well, it says Hebrews. I'm not a Hebrew. Well, some of the problems in there, though, are problems of our day. Problems of any day. These people were still listening to Moses. They still wanted to go back to the Old Testament idea. Now, we need to know about the Old Testament. We need to rightly divide the Word, though, as Paul told Timothy to do. To study is to show himself approved, or be diligent to show himself approved of handling aright the Word of God. Today, if we're following the teaching of men, we're trusting our souls to a bag with holes. We need to be sure we're following the teaching of God. Colossians 2, verse 8, Paul gave this warning. He said, beware lest any man spoil you or change you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the elements or rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And not after Christ. Christianity is both an individual and a collective religion, isn't it? We will give an account individually, but we're supposed to help one another collectively. When we see that in the Bible, it says to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's done in a corporate sense, in a group sense, where we come together. But the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 1 and verse 2 that throughout history, you've listened to God's prophet as well you should. But he says, now in these last days, has he spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And we recall the transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, the first 7 or 8 verses, where there's Moses and Elijah and Jesus are transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And then there's a cloud that obscures them from the sight of Peter, James, and John. And voice from heaven comes, says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And when everything is settled, so to speak, they only saw Jesus as remaining, the Son of God. He speaks these days. Jesus said prior to his ascension that all power or all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. So religion back then, as well as any time throughout the history of God's people, if it's based upon men's teachings rather than based upon God's teaching or being God or Christ's teaching, that it's trusting a bag with holes. Jesus commanded in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And he said, "All the other things that you see will be added to you." And he was trying to teach us about trust there. That we needed not to trust in ourselves so much, and have so much anxiety that we couldn't provide for ourselves because God would be there for us. But he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." What do I seek first? What do I put first? Or am I like some of Jesus' day who was clinging to God, but also clinging to other things, clinging to other pursuits, and trying to hold on to both? And God, and Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve God and serve mammon, material things, money, other things. We cannot serve God part-time. What about spare time? We got 168 hours in a week. God, you ought to be thankful I'm here this morning. Now, you won't see me. You may not hear any prayers from me the rest of the week. I may not open your Bible the rest of the week, but God, I sacrificed. I got up early this morning. It's later than I usually get up, but earlier than I'd had to get up. But God, I hope you appreciate it. Is that the way I pray? Is that the way I think? I gave you one out of 168. Is that 1% even? We don't have to be mathematicians to know that 1 over 168 doesn't equal hardly anything. I mean, if Janet said when she married me, "Jim, I'm going to give you 1 over 168 of my time. I'll love you that much," I'd have probably said, "Happy trails to you," you know. She's going to get me later. She'll have a song too. That just won't. Now, we can't say to God, though, that I'm going to be back tonight and I'll be back Wednesday night. And God, therefore, I gave 3 over 168. Boy, what a good boy am I. No, it's total commitment, isn't it? It's total commitment. Jesus demands our all if he demands anything. Halfway won't get it. Halfway Christianity is trusting a bag with holes. The people of Laodicea, I would imagine, would have thought things were going good at their congregation. If they had elders, their elders were satisfied with the attendance and with all the programs and all the things that were going on at Laodicea. But the question was God satisfied? Was it well pleasing to God? The church at Ephesus, church that Paul stayed at three and a half years. Church that had elders to lead them. Church that had warning from the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 that they stay on the straight and narrow and watch out for sheep in wolves clothing, I guess it is. Coming among you, the elders among the flock, won't spare you. And yet, by the book of Revelation time, like 60 years after Christ, and maybe 30 years after, 40 years after Paul was there, Jesus says, John, you write down that they left their first love. They left their first love. Jesus said about discipleship, Matthew 16:24, if any man come after me, let him not deny self, but deny himself. What about those the people of Israel back in Haggai's time? Were they denying themselves? Now, that statement wasn't made to them, but that was a principle for which we can find in the Old Testament, a principle of putting God in there and not doing everything for self. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And teachers further explain Luke 14:33, where Jesus says, he that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Putting the kingdom first. 100% for God. On Tuesday, if you ask me if I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian on Tuesday. Christian on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So whatever I do and whatever I be, I'm a Christian. Paul said it like this, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You might say, he was a missionary. That's what he had to say that. Philippians 1:21. I think that was Paul. I think he believed that. On another occasion, he said, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Sometimes our reasoning about what Christianity is all about is like putting our wages in a bag with holes. Maybe we need to think about it. I'm not saying we're all wrong or we're all right or what. I'm just saying it was something for the people of Haggai's day to think about. They had a problem. I don't know where all of them had the problem, or just some of them had the problem. Probably many of them had the problem. Why did Christ die for us? The Bible says he died for us, for all, that they that live should not live for themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. You know, that took total commitment on his part, didn't it? We partake of the Lord's Supper later. The bread represents his body. The fruit of the vine and grape juice there represents his blood. Now, we said his blood was shed for us. That blood was shed at the same time his old body was dying. That sacrifice was a total sacrifice, body and blood. One time, on the cross, he's now at the right hand of the Father. We can go to God in prayer now, and in Jesus Christ's name, address Jesus to intercede for us, to be there for us. He understands. God the Father was not on the earth. God the Son was on the earth, tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. You say, I don't know how I can make it through this. What do I do when I'm faced with this or that? God has said in 1 Corinthians 10 that there's a way of escape. When we are tempted to sin, to go one way or go the other, there's a way of escape. Halfway commitment or service is trust in the bag with holes. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come. The time has not come. That'd been a good title for a lesson too. The time has not come. A lot of times that's why we put off thinking about things. I don't want to think about that now. I'd rather think about that later. Later, we don't think about it. Everybody get their flu shot, by the way. Everybody get their flu shot. If you don't get your regular flu shot, then if you need the swine flu shot, you won't be able to get it as soon as you can. Get that flu shot. The time is here. The time is not come, they said. The time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? And therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about it. He said, think about it. You've sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Am I trusting in a bag with holes as far as material things in life? Putting the kingdom first. For as following the teachings of men or following the teachings of God, as far as taking a halfway approach to Christianity, you know, and some of us can have enough Christianity to feel uncomfortable. To just feel uncomfortable. It's trusting a bag with holes in it. This morning we need to increase that trust in Christ. To the Hebrews, the Apostle Paul said, I'm persuaded in better things of you. I'm persuaded in better things of you. And I think God would say that to all of us. And we know that we can all improve our lives for God. None of us are saying to God, well, God, I did too much for you last week. I'm going to take it easy this week. I know that. If there's someone here not a Christian, having studied on your own or studied with someone, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that he died upon that cross for your sins and for my sins. And that you believe that through his sacrifice you can have salvation from your sins. You're willing to repent of those things you've been doing wrong, those transgressions. And you are willing to confess his name as the Son of God. To be baptized in obedience to his will and in response to that faith that you have. Why not do it today? If you're a Christian, need our prayers, need a prayer of the congregation, why not come today? If you need to pray to God yourself and repent and pray, do that today. The time has come. Trust in the bags with holes in it will no longer get it. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, why don't you do this morning as we stand and as we sing. Shall we?